HLE Radio, it is the morning show, and as I said earlier, and if I did this correctly, I should have Tia Goins on the line with me. Good morning, Tia.
Hey, Hunter.
Oh, I did it right. I got you. I can hear you, and I think everybody else can hear you as well. It is such a pleasure to have you calling in today. I know you have a new album out. It's called, let me get this right, Swing, Shuffle, and Sway, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. And this is your third album, or did I get that right?
No. This is actually my fourth album. I've been working with Terry Choate. He's produced and managed me for about the last, 8 or 9 years, I guess. And this is our fourth record that we've done together.
Fantastic. Now, I'm going to be very honest with you here. I went to your website, and I clicked on About, and it says coming soon. So
I know.
So I'm going to tell you what I know of you, and then you can kind of fill in the blanks for me and the rest of the folks. So
you got it, not a problem.
Okay, what I do know is how I seen you is actually it was an episode of Larry's Country Diner that you were performing on and singing, and I was totally blown away, and I'm like, wow, man, because I hadn't heard of you yet, and I'm thinking, man, she is good. And then, of course, on the family reunion, country family reunion stuff, I've seen you there as well. And I've seen your name pop up, like on the cruises and stuff. So that's really all I know about you, other than you sing phenomenal. And so maybe you can help us out with the rest.
I can definitely help fill in the blanks there. But that's the way you know me is the way most people know me as well. I was lucky enough to be asked by Larry Black. Gosh, I guess the first time I did one of the country family reunions was back in 2010, and to be part of the Bill Anderson 50th anniversary. That was the first time most people saw me or heard about me was on that show. And I've been lucky enough and blessed enough to do three or four other country family reunions and been on Larry's Country Diner a couple of times. So most people are familiar with me from RFD TV. So you're not unlike anyone else. That's where most people know me from. So that's okay. We're in the midst of rebuilding my website right now. We've got the new album out, and we're just waiting to get the finished bio back. They've been working on that. So it'll be up on my website soon. But we're in the process of just rebuilding that, and that's why it's not there right now. So sorry about that. I should have sent you something, but
no, that's how we do it here, so that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, well, it's more fun, it's more conversational that way, we can just talk about it. I grew up in Missouri, that's where I'm from, and originally grew up singing in church very young, sang my first solo in church when I was like 3 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, and so that was kind of where it all started for me. I was singing, and I really enjoyed it. My grandmother was a singer. She and I, she kind of was a regional act around Kansas City. She would play the clubs around Kansas City and did, you know, of course, traditional country music.
Right.
And so when I started growing up having an interest in music, she, of course, just ran with that and introduced me to the type of classic country music that I love and the type that I prefer to sing. And that's how it all began for me. When I was 8 years old, Tight was asked to be a part of a country music show there in Missouri, in a little tiny town called Tightwad, Missouri. There is such a place as Tightwad, Missouri. I know. It was called the Truman Lake Opry, and it was in Tightwad, Missouri, and I had done a talent show there.
Okay.
And they asked me the following summer if I would like to be a regular part of the show. And so I started doing that every weekend when I was 8 years old, and I did that all the way till I was out of college and before I moved to Nashville. So it was a really good training ground for me to sit and to be on stage and to be in front of a live audience and to be working with a live band.
So you really got comfortable with that situation of being in a live venue. So
absolutely.
Very comfortable
being
on stage, and it shows as well.
Well, thank you. And I think a lot of people, you know, when they moved to Nashville, they've sat in their bedroom and sang for years, but they've never actually went on stage or done it. You know, so I felt like I was kind of ahead of the curve when I got to town. I didn't have to go learn how to be on stage, because I had been doing that since I was in second grade, you know, so, which was a good thing. And it, you know, teach it to me. One of the things that really taught me was how to appreciate the other musicians that are on stage and how to work with musicians and how to, you know, have that kind of camaraderie that we have.
Now, Tia, maybe some folks don't know, but I think I might be right. You're no stranger to radio either, are you?
Yeah. funny you should say that. This is a great story. I moved to Nashville right after college and to pursue my music career. And I got here and of course didn't know a soul. I was brand new to Nashville, and Nashville is such a, I mean, it's a networking town. You have to know people, you have to go places and meet people and whatnot. So I was doing a lot of that kind of stuff. And I of course had grown up listening to the Grand Ole Opry and listening to WSM on the radio on 650. And when I moved to town, I was such a fan. I showed up at a WSM radio remote that was at a county fair because I wanted to meet the DJs, you know, just being a fan.
Right.
And I went and was talking to some of the DJs, and there was a girl working there. And I said, hey, if you guys ever need any help, I would be willing to work for free because I'm just such a fan of what you guys do and of the station, and, you know, grew up listening to you. And she was like, oh, okay. And it was a month or two later, but I get a phone call from her, and she said, we've got a part-time promotions position available if you would like to do that. And I was like, sure, that'd be great. So I was being glamorous, you know, passing out bumper stickers and all that jazz. You know how that goes in radio whenever you get to go out to a gas station and hand out ink pens or whatever.
Yeah,
you know? being a promotions person.
Absolutely.
And so I did that for, I guess, about a year or so. And they called me in one day and they said, we'd like to teach you some production stuff.
Wow.
I said, sure, I'm willing to learn production, whatever. I don't, you know, that is not in my wheelhouse at all, and not anything. I have said this many times before, but God has opened doors I would have never knocked on. Right. And this is one of those cases, because I'm thinking, okay, sure, I have no broadcast experience. I'll learn how to produce. Why not?
You know? Yeah.
So they pull me in and start teaching me some things and showing me this and that. And they said, well, we actually need a producer for the Grand Ole Opry warm-up show.
Wow.
That airs every Saturday night backstage from the Opry, you know, an hour before showtime. And I'm like, and you're going to pay me to go backstage and hang out at the Opry every weekend? Okay.
You must have really been stoked about that one.
Oh, my gosh. That was the dream come true for me, to be able to be backstage. And this was, I guess it was back in 2006, maybe 2007. So, like Porter Wagner was still there. Jimmy Dickens was still there.
Wow.
You know, all those greats
and
those heroes of mine were all there. And so, I was producing. Keith Bilbrey was hosting, and I was producing that show and running talent for him. And I would go and get the artists and bring them in to do interviews. And at that point, I didn't tell anyone I was a singer, because I didn't want anybody to think that I was using one for the other. You know what I mean? Because they were really two separate things. And so I was just the girl from the radio station to most people out there. But what was great was that I struck up a lot of friendships with these artists.
Mm-hmm.
That was a genuine friendship. It wasn't, you know, an artist trying to get a foot in the door with another artist. It wasn't really that. It was just a genuine friendship with a lot of these people. And so I did that for a couple of years. I ended up hosting a show on WSM called Inside the Opry Circle, that aired during the intermission on Saturday nights, the 30-minute intermission between shows. Again, I don't have any broadcasting experience, so the fact that someone handed me the microphone and said, you do this, I was like, okay. So it was really, it was one of those faith things, and God was putting opportunities in front of me that I was going, okay, if this is what you want me to do, I'll try.
Now, your first interview was a pretty big one, wasn't it, when you interviewed?
Yeah, the first weekend that I hosted that show was the weekend that Carrie Underwood got inducted into the Opry. And my first two interviews were Vince Gill and Garth Brooks.
Can you imagine? Wow.
So talk about throwing somebody in head first and them not having a clue. Like, I would hate to go back now and listen to that because I'm sure I sounded like a scared little puppy talking to these people.
What,
like,
an awesome
what
opportunity, though. I mean, to get that. And then
it was incredible.
You're almost like starting out at the
times,
top. You know,
it's crazy because I tell these stories and I'm like, people probably think she is lying. There's no way that's true. And I'm like, oh,
no, it's documented.
I couldn't make this stuff up.
Right, right.
Yeah, it was just, it was insane. And so, yeah, that was kind of my introduction into broadcasting were those interviews. But I got to sit down with a lot of my heroes and a lot of other artists and get to do that. And this was leading up into 2010. And in the meantime, I was working on my first album.
Wow.
And on my first album, I had recorded a song that was written by Bill Anderson called Walk Out Backwards.
Right. I know it.
And after we recorded that, we of course gave Bill a copy, and all of a sudden the word started going around at the Opry, the other artists, and they were like, wait, you sing? You're a singer? What's going on? You know? And it was, so it was really kind of a cool thing because I thought, you know, I had these friendships with people before
sure.
they knew I was an artist. And I just think, I don't know, to me that was, it was just really real, and it was kind of a cool thing. And so I left WSM just before our record came out, you know, so that I could be doing that. But it was a fun 5 years to work at WSM and to be part of radio that way.
So it took about 5 years from the radio to transfer to where you are now, to where you're, you know, full-time singer and not
the radio person. Yeah, I guess I can tell you the story of how the records all came to be. That's
absolutely
really interesting.
Let's hear it.
The interesting stuff, you know.
Sure.
Back in, I guess it was about 2008, 2009, I was working at the station, and I had been told by Eddie Stubbs that there was a band playing down at the Station Inn called the Time Jumpers, and that they played Western Swing, and I should really go check them out. I was like, okay. So one night after one of our events that we had at the Country Music Hall of Fame, I went over to the Station Inn with a couple of girls from the station, and sat in and listened to the Time Jumpers. If you're not familiar with them, they're a fantastic Western swing band.
Yes, they are.
And I was friends with Rick Vanaw, who was playing drums for them at the time. And I knew a couple of the guys in the band, and Rick got me up to sing. He saw me in the crowd and said, hey, come sit in with us. So I got up and sang a couple of songs. And when the show was over, a man approached me and he said, I'm Terry Choate and I manage the Time Jumpers and you and I need to make a record.
Wow.
And I was like, what? You know, it was crazy because I had moved to Nashville in 2002.
Okay.
And so this was 5-6 years later. And when I moved to Nashville, you know, when you move here, you are knocking on every door. You're trying to get, you know, find a way in, find, you know, somebody who's going to listen to your music, somebody right. who's going to be into what you're doing. And about 6 months before that, I had just come to a point where I felt like I was beating my head against a wall. And I had finally said, you know, God, you put me here. You gave me this. You know, you moved me to Nashville and you've given me all these opportunities. If you really want me to do this music business thing, I'm just going to let you do it because I think me trying to steer the boat is not working.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to let you do what you do and I'm going to just kind of lay low. So I had sort of backed off of it for a while.
Okay.
And when Terry approached me like that, and I thought, what? You know, and I, of course, got home and kind of looked him up and thought, now, who is this guy? What's going on? And I find out that, you know, for like 20 years, he was the A&R guy at Capitol Records. He was the one that signed
right.
Garth Brooks and
right.
T. Graham Brown and Susie Boggess and all these great people. And I'm going, oh, okay, he's legit. That's okay.
Oh, yeah, he's real legit.
Okay, I can probably talk to this guy.
Yeah.
And so we had lunch together and just talked, and we had such similar music tastes. And what struck me about Terry was that he was not trying to change me. He understood that I loved the traditional country music,
right.
even though maybe that's not what was on the radio right now. Maybe that's not what everybody was pushing towards at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he believed in that. And he was like, and I love that music. And I think that we need to be, you know, you need to do what you want to do. And I was like, okay. And it was just one of those moments that I thought, here I had tried and tried and tried to do it myself. And when I let go and let God finally run the show, you know, I mean, there's such a peace and a contentment in surrender. You know what I mean? And I think that that was just one of the first moments for me that I really saw God work when I sat back and let him do it, you know.
Tia, we have a song by you that's called The Letter from God. What's the story behind that?
This song, Letter from God, was written by Rob Crosby and Angela Cassett.
Uh-huh.
And it was one of the first demos that we got when we were putting my first album together.
Okay.
And when I heard the demo of this, I mean, I was literally in tears midway through the song. I was just like, wow. And I mean, the song pretty well speaks for itself. I think we all, in the world that we live in, we all can sit back and see all the bad that's going on.
Right.
And you know, sometimes we can get wrapped up in that. I know I have had a tendency, you know, if you watch the news for long enough, you're in a bad mood.
Yeah,
it just,
no doubt.
You know what I mean? There's just,
right. I know exactly what you mean.
There's not a whole lot of good going on. And sometimes it's that moment where God pulls you in and you can step out of that and go, okay, let me look at me. Can I find the good? Can I be the good? Because there's not a lot of good going on that I'm seeing. And maybe it's time for me to step up and be the good, you know, and make a difference somewhere in somebody else's life. And that's really what this song is about. And that song moved me so much. We did a music video that's out on YouTube for that song. And the music video ended up being nominated for a regional Emmy. I mean, it was just like, that song kind of took on a life of its own, and it's one that I feel like the whole world needs to hear.
Well, Tia, I'm going to play that song, but don't go nowhere, because when we come back, I want to play one off the new CD as well, if you have time to hang with me here.
Sure.
Okay. My special guest this morning, Tia Goins, and this is Letter from God. We'll be right back.
Like tears on my pillow and those words in my head. A little confused, but with a new sense of hope. If he's not giving up on us, then I sure won't. Thought I was doing pretty well, but I can do better. I might have been dreaming, but I'm still believing. I got a letter, I got a letter from God.
Listen, I changed my life. You ain't got to say nothing. I'm living.
That wasn't supposed to come on. Tia, we are the most professional at being unprofessional here at HLE Radio, just so you know.
No worries. None at all.
You're on your new album, you have a song, and I know you didn't write it, but it is by far one of my favorite all-time songs, called Where Mercy Walked In. And you did such a phenomenal job on that song. I mean, it's just pitch perfect, done really well. Great steel guitar work in there. I mean, it's just it's done the way that I love it. And what made you put that on your album?
You know, I know Phil Johnson. He's one of the writers, and this song, it's just the first time I ever heard this song. You know, it just gets you right in the heart, because I think, in some way or another, everybody, we're all guilty of something.
Yes.
Let's be honest.
Yes.
You know, and that song opens right up with that. And it's funny, because over the past year we've been working on this album. I have grown a lot personally in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
I have dealt with a lot of things in my own life, overcoming some just, you know, those things as you get a little older, you start to think and you start to tweak on a little bit. I've been a Christian my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times you can get comfortable in that. And sometimes God will go, wait a minute, hold on. Let me point out a few extra things here. Let me show, you know.
Yeah.
And I kind of had one of those years. And so this song, even though we chose, it was one of the first songs that we chose.
Really?
Very early on.
Okay.
Gosh, yeah, when we were doing this. But as the year went on, this song became so much more to me that by the time we were in the studio, it was like I was really deep into that song and really feeling that song.
It comes across.
And,
it does.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Really does.
And even now, even more now when I hear it, I'm like, it means even more now because of some of the stuff that I was going through. I'll be honest, I was dealing with, I don't know what you want to call it, but maybe it's a perfection complex, trying to make sure everything's perfect all the time and trying to be perfect all the time. And that's no way to live, because that's what Jesus came for. It's not about us. You know, there's nothing we can do to earn it, to be perfect.
Absolutely.
And I had gotten really, for some reason, I don't know, that had just been brought to a head this past year, and overcoming that has made me grow so much in my walk with Christ. And that song particularly, really, you know, now I'm like, wow, that song means even more than the day we chose to put it on the record, because of the journey that I've been on.
Yeah. It is a powerful song for sure, and you can just feel the conviction when you sing it. I mean, and immediately I'm like, whoa, and now that you're explaining, I get it. You know, I get why it affects me the way it affects me now, because of so much conviction that you have singing it and how much it means to you doing it. So we're gonna play that song for sure, but. Before we go, Tia, tell folks how they can get a hold of you if they want to get your music, or if they need, you know, let them know how they can.
Yeah,
they can find that.
You can find my music at tiagoans.com. It's TEEAGOANS www.thebrainpickings.com. You can find it on iTunes and Amazon and Spotify. But if you want to get in touch with me, if you actually want to say hello, please join me on social media. I am a self-proclaimed social media junkie. I love Facebook. I love Twitter. I love Instagram.
Well, you know, that's how we found you is actually Twitter, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm the one that keeps up all my accounts. So if you send me a message on there or you comment on something or you, you know, share some of my music or whatever, mention my name, I'm the one that sees it. I get the notification on my phone and I do try my hardest to respond to everything.
Wow.
So if you're on Facebook or you're on Twitter or any of that stuff, you can find me. It's just Tia Goins on Facebook, and you can just like my page and then jump on there and say hello. On Twitter, it's at Tia Goins, and on Instagram, it's Tia_Goins. But I love talking to people. This is why I do what I do. It's the interactions. It's the relationships. To me, that's what it's all about, and I love making friends. I feel like I know everybody that's on my Facebook page, and it's really fun when I'm doing shows to look out in the crowd and see familiar faces and go, hey, that's Bob. Hey, that's Mary. You know, people from Facebook.
I am really impressed that you handle your own social media. That is impressive.
I do. I always have. I have always been my own social person. They've tried to say, hey, we can get somebody to do it. I'm like, no, I love it. No, come on. This is what I do. Yeah. So I am available and there pretty much all the time. So anytime anybody wants to say hello, feel free.
Tia, I can't thank you enough for taking time to call in today and talk to us. It's been such a blessing to have you here. And the new album is Swing, Shuffle, and Sway. Go to TiaGoins.com and get your copy. Don't hang up just yet, Tia. I'm gonna sign off with you off the air, if that's okay.
Okay.
All right. Here is the song we were talking about earlier, Mercy Walk In. It is The Morning Show, HLERadio.com.
Presented that covered my sin.